Psalm 85 tonight. Psalm 85. I want to read one verse of Scripture. I felt the Lord leading me away from our book studies that we've been studying together to dwell on this thought tonight in preparation for revival and for open house. Now, this is a meeting tonight that we don't want to bypass this meeting looking ahead, but at the same time, we want to apply these thoughts tonight, but that apply all the way through to a big day, to a revival that's ahead of us. Dr. Ron Comfort's coming to be with us on Sunday, and he'll stay with us all the way through Wednesday night. He's starting on Sunday morning with open house. He'll be preaching Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Open house is the opening service of our revival. And I want to give you this thought out of Psalm 85, verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Notice this question here, just the first part of it. Wilt thou not revive us again? May I say this to you? Revival starts with me. Revival doesn't start with you. Revival should start with me. In other words, as revival is approaching here, as the open house is approaching, this is not something that we approach saying, boy, I hope they get it. It's something that we approach saying, Lord, speak to me. I need something from you. May I say this to you? None of us here are as close as we need to be. None of us. None of us. I'm not as close as I need to be. Because the fact of the matter is, the flesh is always holding us back some, at least a little bit, right? We can all get closer is what I'm saying. We can all become a better Christian. We can all do more for Jesus Christ. Is anybody doing everything that they should to the degree they should, spiritually speaking, with the amount of fervor and effort and thinking? I mean, you've arrived in your Christian life. Nobody can say that. Nobody can. Which means, wilt thou not revive us again? Notice the personal there. Will you not revive us? The us includes me. Let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you, trying to do it quickly if I may tonight, because we've got so many things going on. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Would you deal with us thoroughly? Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with open house and revival just ahead, I felt the Lord leading me again away from the book studies to dwell on how we here at this church can get the most out of the meeting, that whether it be this meeting or whether it be any other meeting. I'm preaching in preparation for the weekend that's ahead of us and the revival meeting, but these thoughts I'm going to give you tonight, I'm going to give you four of them, about how you can get the most out of a meeting. How you can get the most out of a revival meeting. If God's going to revive you in this meeting, here are four things to keep in mind. Now, we all stand in need of Holy Ghost revival. I know I need it. And if you'll be honest, you would probably say the same thing. Now get this. While revival does not come in the suitcase of an evangelist, we do need to prepare for this revival with Dr. Ron Comfort. Now, the following is given to help all of us get the most out of this meeting tonight and to get the most out of any meeting in church, but specifically looking towards open house and looking towards Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night of next week. Here are four things to get the most out of the revival meeting, wilt thou not revive us again. Let me give you these four simple things. Number one, attend. Now, this is so simple, it's ridiculous, okay? If you're going to get the most out of a meeting, you've got to be in it. That's deep theological teaching, isn't it? Determine right now. Now, this applies for any service, whether it's a special day, whether it's a Wednesday night, and you're here, God bless you. I'm so-called speaking to the choir tonight. I know that. I'm just trying to encourage you. Attending God's house is good, it's right, and it's of God. And may I say this to you? The service that you miss, I'm talking about if you can be here. And I'm not talking about that it's impossible for you to be here. Some of you have to work. God understands that. Some of you, I hope you won't, but some of you could be in the hospital. Some of us could be in the hospital. Well, if that, you understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about if you can be here, it's God's will for you to be here. Now, I'm talking to our church here. I'm not necessarily talking to the visitors who are with us tonight. I'm talking about you who call this your church home. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about open house. I'm talking about every time the doors open, you ought to make your mind up that every time the house of God is open, you're going to be attending in the house of God. That is of God for you to do that. Let me give you several reasons why it's right to attend church. Now, again, I'm speaking to the choir, and I cannot get bogged down here, okay? So basically what I'm going to do is just give you the thought and give you the verse so you can go home and read it yourself, all right? First of all, it's right to be here because God commands it. You see this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. May I say this to you? If God is for it, then I should be for it. And if God says go to church, I need to go to church. By the way, it's the right kind of church. He doesn't say just go to church. You need to go to the right kind of church, a church that's going to preach the Bible to you, give the gospel straight to you, the right kind. And by the way, we are not the only church doing that in the Tri-Cities. There are many churches, I'm talking about within the Tri-Cities, who are doing a work for God, but there are other churches who are teaching false doctrine. The fact of the matter is, attend the right kind of church. Why? Because God commands it. Number two, we need it. We need it. I mean, the Word of God teaches in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it talks about He gave some pastors and some teachers and some evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, He gave the pastors to the local church. He gave the evangelists to the local church. He gives teachers to the local church. He's talking to the local church in Ephesus here, and He says He gave some pastors and some teachers and some evangelists and to the church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means, if you will, maturing of the saints. It carries the idea of mending the nets. See, back in this day, there were a lot of fishermen, and they would take their nets out and they would fish, then they would drag their nets to land, so to speak, and there would be things that would get caught in the nets, and they would take their nets and they would mend their nets. If they were broken, they would put them back together. If there was something entwined in it, they would get it out. So they would draw their nets back to land to mend their nets. Why? So they could go right back out and fish some more. Beautiful picture here that God's saying. That perfecting of the saints carries the idea of mending the nets. It's good to come apart from fishing, spiritually speaking. Talking about trying to win people to Christ, living the godly life at work and at home. I mean, sometimes you get tangled up. So sometimes you get cut. Sometimes you get sliced. Sometimes there's things that get tangled in you. And it's good to come apart and let a pastor get up, let an evangelist get up, let a teacher get up and take the Word of God and perfect the saints. Start mending the nets. Start putting that together. The Word of God does it through a pastor, does it through a teacher, does it through an evangelist. May I say this to you? When you come this week, if your heart's right with God and you truly desire it, God will speak to you. He will give you something you need if you're here. You've got to attend. God commands it. We need it for perfecting. Number three, it encourages God's man. May I say this to you? The man of God gets used to where people sit. I start recognizing that's her seat, his seat, her seat, his seat. And may I say this? When I don't see you, I miss you. But when I look out and see you here, you don't understand what that does for me. Now, I'm not saying come to church to encourage me, but it is good to encourage God's man. I mean, the Word of God teaches in 3 John 3 and 4, He talks about, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I'm not calling you my children, but you understand as a pastor, it almost seems that way. Even though some of you all, I mean, changed my diapers, honestly. You did. I grew up in this church. Not much bigger than I was in the nursery, but I mean, I grew up in this church. Some of you all changed my diapers. Why did I say that? I have no idea. But I can honestly tell you tonight that as pastor, I feel like you're my babies. I'm serious. It's called a pastor's heart. And I believe God's given me one. And it encourages me when I see you in your place. Amen. That's number three. Number four, it gives the right representation of God. Let me ask you a question. So 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're ambassadors for Christ. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ were walking in bodily form and he was a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, would he be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night if he could? Yes or no? We know the answer to that, don't we? Right? We represent him. We should do what he would do. That's number four. Number five, we ought to do it because our children need it. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, not the way he wants to go, but the way he should go. And let me say this, if you have children still in the home, you're instilling faithfulness in them to the house of God or not. And if you and I are not faithful to God's house, we do not need to wonder if our children are not going to be faithful at all in the future. Number six, you influence somebody else. This kind of goes right along with what I just said with your children. But in Psalm 78, 1-7, your actions affect other people, whether a spouse, a child, a friend, an acquaintance, but especially children. If you're not faithful to God's house, somebody's going to recognize it. And somebody's going to potentially be affected by it. Number seven, it affects other areas of your life. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. May I say this to you? And I'm not saying this across the board because I don't know all soul winners, okay? But I have yet to meet a strong soul winner who was not faithful to church. I've yet to meet one. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying I've yet to meet one. I'm saying you show me somebody who's flippant on church attendance. They're here, they're not. If they come, fine. If they don't, it's no big deal. I show you somebody that other areas of their life has been affected. It affects other areas of your life. Number eight, you expect it out of others. Let me ask you a question. Do you expect me to be here for the revival? Why? Because I'm the pastor? Let me ask you a question. You expect the deacons to be here? Should they be here? Yes or no? Absolutely. Why do you expect them to be here? Because of their position? Now, may I say this? Their position demands they be here. You understand what I'm saying to you? But we should be here not because I'm the pastor, but because I'm a Christian. In other words, the reason I should be here is no different from the reason you should be here, because you want to please Jesus. We expect it out of others. This is Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. We're talking about, why are you looking at the mote that's in your brother's eye and consider it's not the beam that is in your own eye? Let me give you number 9 here. It's for fellowship. 1 John 1:3. It is good to come apart from the world and find people of like precious faith. Amen or not, friends? It's good to have fellowship. Whatever the next number is, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Let me ask you a question. Is it good to go to church? The right kind of church? Yes? It's good? Here's what James chapter 4, verse 17 says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If it's good and you know it and you don't do it, it's sin. Now, if it's good to be here and you can be here, now again, I'm emphasizing that you can be here, you ought to be here. The next number, it puts God first, okay? This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Somebody said this, I don't know how many more Sundays I have left. God may give me many more Sundays or whatever. But you know, he said, it would be poor preparation for my first Sunday in heaven to have slighted my last Sunday on earth. In other words, from Sunday to Sunday, you don't know if you're going to be here from this Sunday to the next. You see what I'm saying? We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know if last Sunday was your last Sunday on earth. I may not make it till Sunday, but if I do, I want to be faithful to God's house. So if I don't make it to the next Sunday, my first Sunday in heaven, I didn't slight my last one on earth. It's a good thing. So number one, attend. Number two, invite. Invite, invite, invite. The Word of God makes it very plain that it is God's will for all of God's children to share the gospel with others. Now, again, I'm just going to mention these. Of course, I know earlier I did a little bit more than mention. I'm going to attempt just to mention the scripture references so you can write them down and read them later. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. In Mark chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's God's will for God's children to share the gospel with other people. Now, one of the many ways, and there are many ways that you can obey that command to give the gospel, one of the many ways that you can do that is to invite them to a special meeting. Now, that's not the only way. We need to lift our voice and tell them the gospel. We need to give them gospel tracts and share our personal testimony. But God has also made it to where you can invite somebody to come to a special meeting and let Dr. Comfort preach to them. You see what I'm saying? They come because you invited them, and if they get saved, God is going to reward you for that, for inviting them. Let me encourage you to do something. Write some names down of people that you want to invite. And then maybe on Saturday night, call them just to remind them, hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you in the morning. Just some things. Number one, attend. Number two, invite. Number three, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Revival can happen. It's possible to see a mighty moving of God in this revival meeting. It's possible that God is going to come down in a mighty way on Sunday morning and the floodgates open. Wouldn't you love to see that happen? It's possible, it can happen, but it will not happen apart from God's people praying. Will not happen. And I'm saying 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Let me give you some things to include in your praying as you pray for this revival and pray for this open house. By the way, Robert Murray McShane said, a man is what he is on his knees and no more. Let me encourage you with some things here about praying daily for souls, praying daily for God's power. Let me give you five things to include in your prayer life. As you pray for this big day, as you pray for the revival, as you pray for God to speak to your heart, as you pray just really through your prayer list, this applies to your prayer list, but I'm applying this to the revival meeting coming up. Let me give you five things to include in your prayer life. Number one, confession. This is 1 John 1:9, Psalm 32, verse 5. When one falls in the mud in a dark valley, he'll not know how dirty he is until he progresses toward the light. And the closer he gets to the light, the more filthy he can see that he is. May I say this to you? One of the first things that we need to do in our prayer life is we need to confess. Now, we're not Catholic. We're not talking about confessing to one another. We're talking about confession to God. One of the first things that I try to do whenever I'm coming into my prayer closet, so to speak, talk to God, I try to ask God if there's anything in my life that's hindering you. And sometimes he'll specifically put his finger on that. God, forgive me for that. I'm wrong there. It's not me getting saved again. It's just me getting a bath, so to speak, and getting in close fellowship with God so when I pray, he's listening to me. Confession. Number two, humiliation. This is found in Psalm 9:12, James 4, 6, and 10. If I'm going too fast for you, just let me know and I can give you a copy of this later. 1 Peter 5:5. Psalm 9:12, James 4, 6, and 10. 1 Peter 5:5. When we come into God's presence, we ought to be humble people. We should never come into God's presence in prayer demanding something or proud as a peacock, whatever that means. We ought to be humble before Him. Confession, humiliation. Number three, separation. This is Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What I mean by separation is this: get away from sin. Get away from it. That verse tells us in Psalm 66:18 that if we have sin in our life and we know it, If I regard iniquity in my heart, that word regard, that means I know it's there. If I regard it in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What's that mean? That means if it's there and I'm regarding it, I'm bidding Godspeed to it. I know it's there, I don't confess it. I'm just regarding it. I'm patting it on its head. I'm flirting with it. It's there. God says, I'm not going to listen to you. That's what he says. Now, may I say this to you? I have got to have it where God is hearing me when I pray. As a pastor, as a father, as a husband, I have to know that God is listening to me. And one way to help that happen is I'm not regarding iniquity in my heart. Now, may I say this to you? I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. But I can honestly tell you as I stand here tonight, I don't know of anything I'm regarding in my heart that's iniquity. That doesn't mean there's not something there that God needs to expose. I'm saying there's nothing that I'm regarding that's there in my heart that I'm aware of. But if I ever am, and I don't confess it and I love it too much, I might as well not even pray. Separation. Number four, adoration. This is found in Nehemiah 9:3. Psalm 95, verse 6, Psalm 99, verse 9, and Psalm 18, verse 3. When we go to God in prayer, a lot of times we get into the give me syndrome. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. It's very easy to do that, isn't it? Very easy. And by the way, God wants you to ask for things. Ask and you shall receive. Nothing wrong with asking. But if our prayer is always asking, that's all our prayers are, is asking, 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 we're missing a major aspect of prayer. A major aspect of prayer is bowing on our faces just in adoration to giving praise and thanksgiving. That's a major part of prayer. Then number five, expectation. So I've given you confession, humiliation, separation, adoration. Number five, expectation. This is found in Matthew 21, 22 and John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Expect God to answer your prayers. If you have confessed your sin, far as you know, you are humbling yourself before God, you are separate from sin, you are adoring Him, expect Him to answer your prayers. If you're praying according to His will, He's promised to hear you. Expect God to bless. This goes back to what William Carey said when he said, attempt great things for God, but expect great things from God. See, there are times, I've been guilty of this, when we have like a big day or I'm praying for something, whether it be for a sick person or whether it be for baby Jessa when she was sick. Have you ever doubted your prayer? I mean, you prayed, but you really didn't expect God to answer it. Now, maybe you're a better Christian than I am, okay? But have you ever prayed and really not expected God to answer your prayer? I have. I have. May I say it this way? We should not be shocked when he answers our prayer. We should be shocked if He doesn't answer our prayer. Now, I'm convicted there. I've not arrived yet, okay? But let us expect God to do something this week. May I say this to you, as we pray as a church body, if we pray confessing our sin to Him, we're already saved, we're going to heaven, but just confessing our sin to Him so He gives us a spiritual bath, so to speak, so He hears our prayer and we separate from our sin and we humble ourselves before Him and we adore Him and we trust that He's going to answer, God's going to do something, friends. I don't know what, and I'm not trying to put Him in a box, but if we pray that way, God will do something this week. He'll do something. Because He wants to be glorified. And He's going to be glorified through the prayers of His children. Let me give you a fourth and final thing. Number one, attend, be here. Number two, invite, get somebody here. Number three, pray with confession, humiliation, separation, adoration, expectation. Number four, in closing, yield. Yield. What I mean by that is this. In order to get the most out of a church meeting, whether it be this meeting or whether it be open house or whether it be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, revival, whatever, apply it to any meeting, but we're applying it to this weekend and revival coming. The way to get the most out of it is decide now that whatever God says, your answer is yes. Whatever He tells you, your answer is already yes. If He tells you you need to stop that, yes, Lord. You need to start that, yes, Lord. May I say this to you? In revival, more than likely, if you're here and you come, you attend, you're here, so on and so forth, more than likely, God is going to shine His light on something in your life. It may be an encouraging thing. It may be a convicting thing. He's going to tell some people, quit it. You see what I'm saying? He's going to tell other people, start this. He's going to tell other people, keep this going. You see what I'm saying? Yield to Him. Whatever it is. My answer is yes. Some scripture for this would be James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. James 4:7-8. Luke 6:46. Luke 11:28. Determine now to say yes to God's will. Now get this. Why would you expect God to speak to you if you're not willing to say yes to Him? You know, God knows our heart. And when the Word of God's preached, God's voice is speaking. I'm not talking about the preacher, I'm talking about the words of God. The Word of God is going forth, and He's constantly speaking. But if you have a yielded heart, a heart that's here, it's attending the meeting, a heart that's been praying and been confessing to God and been humbling yourself before God and separating from sin and adoring God and expecting God to move, and you have a yielded heart, that whatever God tells me, my answer is yes. I'm going to tell you something. You can have a wonderful revival in just a few days lying ahead. So be here. Invite people. Pray. Yield. Let's trust God for a great meeting. I want to do something a little bit different, if we may. It's not really different from what we've been doing recently. But I'd like to ask somebody just to come and just to begin to play at the piano up here. I never want to let a service come and go without allowing somebody who's in our service that's maybe never trusted Christ to have an opportunity to come and be saved. I don't know your heart. I can't see your heart. I trust that you know Jesus Christ. But if you don't, tonight could be the night when God is speaking to you and saying, now's the accepted time. I want you for my own. And I want us just to bow our heads and close our eyes. As they begin to play through softly, if God is speaking to your heart about your eternal salvation, if God is speaking to your heart about your soul, then I encourage you to get out of your seat and come. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Along with that, I encourage our folks who feel led of God to get out of your seat and gather around the altar for this big day, for this revival. I want you to get out of your seat now. Would you do that? And let's come and let's pray together. I'm not going to tarry long here. I'm not going to tarry long. But I want you to come and let's pray. Let's pray with confession. Let's pray with humiliation. Let's pray with separation. Let's pray with adoration. Let's pray with expectation, asking God to meet with us. I'm going to pray here. Let's just trust God to do some great things. And I hope if you call this church your church home that you're praying. If you need to learn more about the Lord, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. May the Lord help us with this. May God help us with this. May the Lord help you. Just pray momentarily and I'll come back to the altar. I'll come back to the pulpit momentarily and I'll close us in prayer. Our Father, we love You tonight and we thank You for the privilege to pray. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege that You've given us as Your children to be able to serve You, to be able to attend a house of God that preaches and teaches the Word of God. And we pray in preparation for this big day, this open house on Sunday morning, and for this revival Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Lord, we know that it's Your will to speak to our hearts, that it's Your will for us to be obedient. And Lord, I pray as pastor that You help my heart to be right, help my heart to be clean. And if there's anything in our hearts that hinder you, I pray that you forgive us and remove it and get it out of our life. Help us, Lord, truly to be humble people. I'm not asking that you humble us, but I pray that you help us to be humble in your presence, seeking you, trusting you. Help us to separate from anything that displeases you. And we praise you for who you are today. And Lord, I pray that you give us a spirit of expectation. Help us, Lord, to have a great day on Sunday. If you tarry your coming and give us life, would you give us a great day for the glory of God? Would you touch the weather? Give us good weather if it's your will, so the children's fair can go on as planned. We pray for the altar workers. We pray for all of these dear folks that are will be helping in the parking lot and the greeters and the Sunday school classes and Dr. Comfort. We pray for a special anointing of God. May thy will be done. Speak to my heart. May it be a great meeting for the glory of Almighty God. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us first. Help us to be ready and willing to say yes to whatever you've given us to do. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You can go back and be seated. I'm going to call the church into session. If you are not a church member, you are